The room.
What happened with that one?
What
ooh, the Neku.
Oh, just a minute.
No, that's not Neko. That's bonus audio.
There we go.
Listen to one, get one free.
You know, once
stereo,
upon a time,
that's what it is.
Once upon a time, when this Swami was a wacky radio DJ, on April Fool's Day, I was doing a morning show, and 1 year on April Fool's Day, had spent, oh geez, an enormous amount of time doing the production for this. But what I did was went and found songs of approximately the same length, and then in the production room recorded one song in the left channel and one song in the right channel, so those people with stereo had a choice. They could turn their balance all the way to the left and get one song, or all the way to the right and get another song, or if they kept it balanced, well, they heard both and it sounded terrible. But it was the way I set this up was saying that this was the new format of the radio station.
Playing two songs at once.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, double your pleasure, double your... Anyway, so that was silly. It didn't, it only went, you know, it did about a half an hour that way. And oh, did the phones light up? People were so pissed.
Sounds like one of David Blaine's syncopes.
Yeah.
So,
go on then, give us a ball.
I don't know whether or not you saw the story this week. William and Kate, they've gone to for a trip to Canada, and
Canada, yep.
And they are going to be—I don't know whether they're actually going to be presented, or they're going to be at an event where there's like a depiction of the residential schools. It's like from the committee for you know, the tribunal to of all the horrors that went on in the school, and I thought that was really quite an interesting turn of events when William's grandparents are quite heavily embroiled in this whole affair.
Yeah, I did see that Tarou was not being too kind to the Indigenous folks of Canada either this week. Did you notice that story?
No. Has he said something at the General Assembly? Because that's been happening this week, isn't it?
Yeah.
The UN General Assembly. So is that where he has come out with this statement?
Let me just look it up and confirm. But he has been pretty shit to the Indigenous folks, eh?
Well, I suppose that's part of the course, really, isn't it? With Canada, and you know, let's just remember that Canada is a corporation, and its jurisdiction only goes, it surrounds the waterways of that continent. So I think it's the waterways and a certain part, you know, a certain distance away from those waterways that was initially Canada. And quite a lot of Canadian corporations, like Canada itself, are all incorporated in Washington, D.C. That's where their PO boxes are. You were.
Well, that's kind of unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know whether or not you can really search Dun & Bradstreet anymore, but a few years ago it was a fascinating few hours spent trawling through Dun & Bradstreet or a global risk company checker. So they... You can get various financial reports on any company right. that's incorporated in the whole world. And so at the time, I was having much fun. I think it was around the time that Obama became president. And it was interesting right. that the day before he took office, the president of... The United States PLC, in all intents and purposes, was trading under the name of George W. Bush. And then the day after, it was it changed to the trading name of Barack Hussein Obama. So.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how I found out that Canada, the country of Canada, or the company, the corporation of Canada, was right. and quite a lot of like the TV stations and various government departments were all trading out of Washington.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'd also found out that like the Houses of Parliament and Members of Parliament are companies. So all these MPs in the House there, House of Commons, all work for Members of Parliament PLC and Houses of Parliament PLC. They don't necessarily work for the Labour Party or the Conservative Party. They all work for the same company.
Or the people of the fucking country.
Yes, right. More importantly. So.
Which is what's happening because we're basically run by a cabal of fucking criminals.
Yeah.
They're not doing the work of the people or.
Well, certainly in this country, they're not.
I'm sure it's the same. Well.
Well, they're doing
the same worldwide these days.
Well, it could be the same as in America because a lot of the politicians here are doing the bidding of the Israeli government, aren't they?
Absolutely,
like Cameron, who says, what was it? His support for Israel is unbreakable or unshakable. So,
well, there's a whole lot.
He has more support for them than he does for Britain.
Well, there's a whole lot of speculation over here on the interweb nets about whether there's even going to be an election this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there was
just going to be a circus.
There was that spoof story a couple of weeks ago about Obama saying that he'll he won't leave the White House if Trump gets elected.
Yeah.
He'll have to be evicted. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all right. Trump's got experience with that. He just walks in and goes, "You're fired."
Kind of strange. I don't remember exactly where I saw the article, but there was one that was saying Americans, I think it was something like 1,500 Americans were polled, and in the poll, you know, asking if it wasn't either Trump or Clinton that you were voting for, who would you vote for? The majority said Bill Gates.
Oh my God.
That was kind of a trip to read earlier.
Oh my good God.
Okay, hell.
Have you a bong for us, Fi?
I do, yeah.
Go for it.
Okay. I do. The bong is all about this emergency alert that went on in New York this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it was regarding... there were some bombs went off in New York, yeah, in New Jersey on Monday.
Yeah.
And the authority. Now, the thing that really got me about this story was, who knew that they could just tap into your phones and send an emergency alert out to them? Mm. I just think that's just so sci-fi.
Well, that's one of the plot lines of Batman, isn't it?
I think that system. I think that system's been there for a while.
They've been using it for
Amber Alerts.
Yeah, I was going to say Amber Alerts. I've gotten Amber Alerts on my phone before. The system's in place. They just, you know, augmented it for terrorism this time.
Oh, I just think it's so invasive. I just think it's, you know, making everyone, it just brings everyone's mind in, doesn't it, to that moment. This guy was explaining he was on the train and everybody's phone was going off alert. So, of course, they're all looking at their phones.
And all at the same time would be
exactly the same
unusual time. Event. Yeah.
So it's just another one of those things, isn't it, to get everybody's mindset and get everybody feeling afraid. I'm on a train. Is this going to be about a bomb on a train?
And to get everybody.
Oh no, I'm in a park. Is this about?
To get everybody's energy focused on the same thing.
At the same moment.
Yeah.
For several minutes, hours, whatever it happened.
Pay attention. Mm. That's what it's all about. Mm. Paying attention.
Well, it's kind of funny. You put it in those terms. You think about, you know, like a stadium full of people gathered at the same, you know, one concert to view a, you know, musical artist, whomever. I mean, that much energy. Or even, you know, a religious type thing. Mm-hmm. People gathered around, you know, honing in on the same thought wave or whatever. Uh-huh. You know,
opening ceremonies and award ceremonies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
World Cup games. Yeah, you're right. Any kind of sports.
But, you know, there was something else I was going to mention about this thing in New York, the bombing. Joint Terrorism Task Force. You guys heard of them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was watching CNN as this whole thing was going down, and one of the commentators, he was kind of chuckling as he says this. He's like, I don't know how much I should say, but the Joint Terrorism Task Force is actually based out of Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I wrote down that I thought should be mentioned. that's the area that the bombs were going off. This joint, and I looked on the Wikipedia and a few other places, and yeah, Joint Terrorism Task Force apparently is one of these ones that will go in and like infiltrate groups and make it seem like they're doing bad things.
Oh, right, yes. Yeah.
Almost like our illustrious FBI, you know, mm. who goes and sets up people who are, you know, halfway developmentally disabled with, you know, here's some stuff. Here's a bomb. You know, I mean, they just mm-hmm. do these sorts of things.
Well, that's exactly like the
instigators.
Mm-hmm.
The police over here were infiltrating groups which they thought might be dangerous, but they were making them dangerous because they were planting the suggestions that, well, do you know what? Why don't we do this or why don't we do that? And I can get the gear for it. And you know, they were provoking people to do these things.
But if that agent had not been amongst those
there,
people,
they
it
would
couldn't
not
have
happened. Right, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
You know, another strange aspect of this is that I'm blanking on the guy's name right now, but it was the first day of New York's new police chief that this happened to happen on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm blanking on his freaking name right now. I want to go Google it. But yeah, no, it just seemed a little strange that, you know, this first attack in New York in a good long while happens on the first day of the new police chief's first day.
The New York mayor is Bill de Blasio.
No, not him.
The mayor.
Yeah. New police chief.
Right, okay. I'm just trying to see if this is... All right, so that gave him something to do then, instead of just rearranging things on the desk. I'm putting his family picture on there.
James P. O'Neill.
Yeah, James.
He's the commissioner.
Yeah. James O'Neill. Yeah, James P. O'Neill.
yeah, it just, I don't know, it stood out to me that, you know, this was this guy's first day on the job as, you know, head of New York police, and something like this
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, and suddenly something happens. Yeah.
Well, but they, good day work, honey. Not really, sure. Pour me a whiskey.
Yeah, freaked out the whole country all at once. All
right. Yeah.
Hooray!
I fucking hate my job.
I just
would you like some more mashed potatoes?
I'd actually looked up other things that happened on that day, and there were a couple that were actually of note, it kind of seemed. The Battle of Antietam.
Mm-hmm.
It was
That's
the bloodiest,
part of the Civil War.
Yeah, bloodiest battle in the Civil War. Also, on that same day, the Constitution was signed in 1787. And the space shuttle was unveiled, the Enterprise, in 1976. So there were just a few things that happened that day.
I like Freeman's little, he's sort of saying about the shuttles, like the expedition, I can't remember it, but it's the names of all the ships, of all those space shuttles.
Columbia Discovery.
Yeah, the Discovery.
It's like the Enterprise. Enterprise was the first one. So it's like the Enterprise to discover
Atlantis.
Something, yeah.
All challenges will be...
Sorry, listeners, we can't give you the line because we failed to prepare that particular bit of content, but you are free to look it up at your leisure.
Yes.
Yeah. But our listeners know that this is the lounge and we're pretty relaxed and stuff like that.
maybe we could offer them a T-shirt for the plus one that can tell us what we're talking about.
So, in case anyone doesn't know what these alerts are, because I had no idea, just found out. It's a wireless emergency alert service by the Federal Communications Commission, which sends out alert messages to mobile phones in a geographic area. It allows different government agencies, such as the FBI, National Weather Service, and Department of Homeland Security, to send urgent notifications to residents of a region. So I just think that's so weird that, you know, you just round your home or wherever you might be and suddenly doo doo doo, you get the emergency alert. Quick.
And for anyone,
my God, be scared.
Yeah. For anyone unfamiliar,
I wasn't scared and now I must be.
We had mentioned that this is already being utilized for Amber Alerts. If you're not familiar with that phrase, an Amber Alert is a report of a child who has been kidnapped or has gone.
Could they then theoretically?
Why does everyone need to know anyway? You know.
Well, I suppose yeah.
So they're on the lookout for a child of that description.
Who's been? Oh, for God's sake! Kids go missing all the time and then turn up, or people go missing and don't turn up, and we know what happens to those ones.
Or people report. Kids being abducted, and nobody claims to have a kid missing, and then the person that reported that kid, what he saw, a kid being taken off in a van, he gets arrested. What the fuck's that about?
I know. That really happened in this country. How bizarre is that?
Yeah.
But there was one... there was a tweet from one of the commuters on the train when all the phones went off. He said, if commuters weren't already on edge today, this alert, which just rang through the entire train, got us there. So clearly it was quite disturbing for all the commuters.
So if they can do that to people's phones, could they theoretically then send out a frequency that goes to the phone that utilizes... but use it as a
wirelessly
as a booster signal,
a trigger.
Yeah. So everybody's phone is being active, boosting a particular frequency.
Mm-hmm.
It could be
all sorts of frightening things can fall in this in this particular groove.
There's a plot line in a Batman film now.
Yes, yes.
Bruce Wayne uses all the frequencies, or he uses the power of all the mobile phones to boost this signal, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And Morgan Freeman says, yeah, I'll do it this once, but then I'm resigning. And Morgan Freeman's like the sort of super secret weapons developer for Wayne Industries, isn't he? He does all the Black Ops stuff.
That's a type of directed energy, isn't it?
Totally, yeah, man. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So,
yep. Shizzle. The fact of even shown us it in a movie, and now it's been reported in the mainstream news.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a mainstream news channel we're getting this info from. So like, they've got that technology, folks. Oh yes, they do.
It was on CNN and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, okay. Maybe we should move on to the next bong. We've rung this one dry.
here's another one that's going to reverberate.
Okay.
Anybody?
Reset?
Oh, okay.
Just doing a radio.
Don't reset, you do it.
Has the bong rung?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful.
That's why you were cued.
Wonderful. All right. So one of the ones I've been looking at is there's been some strange AI developments lately. Facebook and Intel, just two of the companies involved in this stuff, they've been writing AI that would be able to play the game Doom and be able to read basically just using the things on the screen and be able to kill humans is what it was going for. And so normally, you know, AI in a computer game isn't totally unheard of. I mean, it's been around for a good long while, but there would be certain parameters that the computer would follow. And these are things that were inside the video game, you know, parameters it could follow. And what Facebook and Intel have done is created a program that would basically, like a human, seize the game, only be able to operate on the parameters of what was on the screen. And I'm trying to think of this guy's name. I think it's Asimov's first law of robots is that robots are not supposed to be able to hurt humans in any way, shape, or form. And this whole thing they've been doing with this AI Doom deathmatch is kind of what it's called. Completely goes against Asimov's first law of robots, you know, not being able to hurt humans at all. And if the article I was reading on Engadget, I think it was saying that if this was quote unquote ported over to, you know, actual robots, if the program was transferred into a robot body, that this could cause the robot to go out and just want to kill, because it would be trying to. Basically, what the game was doing was training these artificial intelligences to go through the game faster and faster and get higher kill ratios. So if something like this was transferred over to actual robots, it would be a really, 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 really bad thing.
Terminator! I'll be back!
It's kind
Terminator
of
Terminator versus Predator, wouldn't it?
Sarah Connor.
Yeah,
on the street.
Yes!
And it is kind of strange, that story coming out along the same time as there's this other Facebook story. Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Chan,
yeah.
I think her name is. Yeah.
They're
trying to cure all disease by 2100.
What?
Well, by killing everybody.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. That would do it. Okay.
That's such a bizarre picture of them that's on the front as well, because I don't know whose chest looks bigger.
I think we should help them out. Then we should say, hey, Marky boy,
picture.
Hemp oil.
Yeah.
Done, sorted. Keep your billions in your pocket, mate. You're all right.
Well, it is strange with reading that Bill Gates story earlier about, you know, people, you know, if it wasn't Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump they were voting for, it was going to be Gates. I could see Zuckerberg running for president at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and his wife. That'd be a good.
I know. Look, you've got the.
That's what the, America the, should the, do from now on. Is get a husband and wife to run for president instead of like Democrat Republican. That'd be fucking hilarious.
Oh, what? And they battle it out amongst
yeah,
each other.
Yeah, whoever wins. Whoever wins. Uh-huh. And but the loser gets to be under president or vice president.
Or exactly.
Well, that would mean that the woman would always win.
Well, let's fucking find out, shall we?
have you seen the...
Shut up. It makes tea.
Have you seen the series Veep?
V?
Veep.
Veep.
Veep, as in Veep.
No.
Well, it's...
No.
Vice.
Yeah, it's got the woman out of Seinfeld in, and she sort of... She's like the vice president, but then she sort of becomes president.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
Yeah, that's the lady. And she becomes president. And I thought the sort of narrative of that show, it's sort of pre-programming people for a Hillary win.
Hmm.
It's giving people
the apprentice... There's the apprentice through programmers for Trump to win. You're fired.
but yeah, sort of, if you look at like 90s disaster movies, there was always a black president. And so, there was never a woman president, was there? But there was this Obama character. Being subtly planted, you know, like Morgan Freeman or like 24, wasn't it? Was Obama already president when 24 started?
No.
I don't know. I've never watched an episode of that.
Yeah, that was early 2000, wasn't it?
Yeah, so
Obama was elected 2008, so that show was going on for a good while before then.
Be Bush, for sure.
So yeah, you had the black president in being subtly planted in the consciousness of the populace, and then you get a show like this that is planting that seed. I think regardless of whichever one gets in. It's just going to continue the disaster, isn't it, really?
And again, that's even if there is an election.
Yeah, but it will be quite an interesting thing to see play out in that, you've got these four... or three women heads of countries, you know, Merkel, May, and Clinton. And it'd be interesting to see...
Don't forget Nicola.
Yeah, Nicola.
Don't forget who?
Jimmy Cranky.
Oh.
What did they call on
Nucky. Nicola.
Did they call him Nappy or you?
For our American listeners, Nicola Sturgeon is the Scottish First Minister. So she's like the fourth that I was speaking of.
Ah. Well, in Brazil, their first female president just recently got kicked out.
Well, she's on trial. Over corrupt. Now. Yeah, she's on trial now, isn't
yeah,
she?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but she was, she got the boot. So that didn't go all that well for Brazil.
Well, I don't think, regardless of the gender of any particular person in power, at that level of the game, corruption is
pretty much how it gets played, period, right?
Yeah. It's too tempting to not take that sweetie.
Mm-hmm. Whilst we're on the subject of female politicians, have you seen who's going to run in Joe Cox's seat?
Yes, the actress.
Very interesting. Sorry for our American listeners on this one, but we had a politician called Joe Cox assassinated here.
Right.
Before the Brexit.
He was linked to the White House in Syria, which is quite an interesting.
Was it really?
Yeah. She was.
Well, Joe Cox is dead.
No. She worked with the White Hats.
Did she really? Well, the person who's going to be standing in her place is an actress who is on soap operas over here.
She was on soap operas over here. She won a local election.
Did she win an election?
Yes.
As a councillor?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, she, bloody hell, what's her name? Sorry about this, folks. Classy, yeah. It's on the other computer.
On the Joe Cox I was rewatching Vanessa Beely on UK Column this afternoon, and she was mentioning all the money raised for the Joe Cox Fund that went to the White Hats.
Oh my God!
And that is basically people's money being gifted in. In solidarity or like grief to her and the family being sent to terrorists, basically.
Sent to terrorists, sent to the bad guys. Fuck's sake. Oh. And the woman who's standing is a former actress called Tracy
Brabin.
She's been in all the major soaps over here, like Coronation Street, Emmerdale, and EastEnders. But she's interestingly wrote quite a lot of scripts as well, and she wrote for a show called Tracy Beaker, which is about an orphan girl or something. It's pretty agenda pushing fucking kids TV show. Yeah. And then she's not actually going to be opposed. Have you heard this, Nick?
No.
Out of respect for Joe Cox, the Lib Dems, the Tories, and UKIP will not be fielding a candidate.
What?
So she's the only one in the ballot, basically. So she's being shoehorned on a pretty high-profile seat, given what's happened here of this.
What?
I mean, we at the time had, Fajcik had sort of quite a bit of information about the sort of her death and all that, and, you know, the sort of symbolism that was attached to it, because it's pretty overt, a lot of it. But she was always seen in red, and... She was just it was quite an odd thing, but we never actually sort of we had a few sort of holidays this year, impromptu. But it's quite odd that it's coming up now, and oddly enough, the promo shots of this Tracy.
She's in red, wearing
a red coat,
holding lilies, and sort of, you know, it's just. Very odd that she's not been opposed as well. I thought that was quite an odd situation. I mean, we've seen quite a lot of that in British politics over the years, haven't we?
Well, Theresa May, the second unelected Prime Minister.
Yeah. In as many Prime Ministers.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, it's just posted that one again. Yeah. There we go.
There's the article.
I'll endeavour to put that into the show notes. So yeah, Joe Cox linked to the White Hats is.
That's very interesting. Yes, because what Vanessa Beely, what she is bringing to the fore about the White Hats is that in Libya there is like a in Syria there is a defense initiative there. What are they called? I can't remember. They are they're like the army, the fire engines, you know, the firemen, the ambulance, the sort of the emergency service force that run in Libya, and they Syria, and they, you know, when buildings are bombed and falling down, they go and you know, rescue people, and obviously they're under attack as well from ISIS or any other type of
Al-Nusra.
Opponents that want to prevent their good work happening. But instead of promoting these people, suddenly you have this thing called the White Helmets, who nobody knows who they are in Libya. Nobody knows where they come from or what they do. In Syria. Let me just write it on my head. And they are, yeah, they're just appearing. And also they've been known to be, is it right that they were causing trouble in some areas? I heard that they were just, people don't know where they come from. They're a sort of mishmash of different nationalities. And they, well, there's been a film made of them, supposedly, by Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
And people who have actually been involved in, like, emergency services are saying that what they're showing them doing on where they're supposed to be rescuing people is actually quite dangerous. They're not actually, they don't look that like they're real rescuers. They don't look like they've really been properly trained in what they're supposed to be showing that they're doing. I wouldn't say they're actors,
also,
certainly not.
Also, they've been heavily linked to ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Syria. It's almost like it's the terrorists' PR company.
They're being promoted as some savior force.
Yeah, they're going filming places and presenting the situations in a completely different context. I think the boy in the ambulance, the poor kid that they pulled out of the rubble. That looked at the whole of that footage, there was more people filming and taking pictures than actually trying to help. So,
it's more like a photo opportunity than a situation where people would actually dive in and actually do something.
Yeah, and I think that the actual ambulance that they put this kid in was the first time that this ambulance had ever been used. I've been listening to Vanessa's updates on the 21st Century Wire's Sunday Wire show over the last few months, and her and other people that are like actually in Syria, in Aleppo, and various other places that are, you know, actually reporting what's going on, rather than the terrible media portrayal on the mainstream news channels. You know, that and Yeah, I absolutely commend the whole of the 21st Wire team for bringing everybody that sort of information, because it is, you know, some of it is really harrowing, but, you know, that's because there's a fucking war going on there, but you're getting it from the horse's mouth rather than through a mouthpiece. So, yeah, bravo, keep up the good work there, chaps.
Yeah, very well done. Brilliant. And also to the UK column as well, who've done some excellent interviews with Vanessa Beely as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's brought some really important information to the table.
And you know, she's properly risking her life in being this being the independent reporter that she and journalist that she is. Some of the story of trying to get into these places that you know, these like sniper nests that you know, you have to sort of be on the bottom of, you know, hidden in the bottom of the car, but so you know, you're not sniped out. I mean, that is fucking so risky, but you know, people like Vanessa are doing an absolutely amazing job. Absolutely amazing, yeah. I couldn't think of
the real heroes.
Yeah, yeah. And then you
get, know, they're not just.
And then you get reports from these mainstream media channels. Reports of embedded reporters in either within the White Hats or the other terrorist organisations or rebels, as the mainstream likes to call them. You know, how, unless it's all micromanaged, how are these people getting access to these groups that, you know, are basically terrorists? Crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely ridiculous. Did you see the interview that UK column highlighted with Cathy Newman interviewing Bhuthania Shabana? No, Shaban. Excuse me for not being able to pronounce it properly.
Bhuthania Shaban.
Yeah.
No, I haven't yet, no.
It was...
She's
an advisor to the Assad government, and she's a very intelligent, very eloquent, very erudite lady.
Yeah. Yes, I did. Yeah,
and Cathy Newman was going mad at her, and you can when you have listened to the reports from someone like Vanessa Beely, and you understand that what's being reported on the mainstream media about what's happening in Syria, you realize that someone who's actually there trying to speak the truth is finding it very difficult. And here she has her moment to speak, and Cathy Newman is just not letting her speak, and she just keeps bombarding her with these, you know, she's saying, did you gas attack? Are you saying you didn't gas attack these people? So can you, and she keeps going on about this gas attack thing. Now, the gas attack report had several flaws in it, which need to be looked at before you decide whether or not that gas attack really happened. For instance, the people who were being treated in the hospital were not showing any sign. They were just sitting there and kind of had like just oxygen masks on their face. One didn't even have an oxygen mask on his face. None of them had eyes streaming with water. None of them were throwing up. They just looked at, they were in very clean clothes, and they were just sitting on a bed as if someone had just sat them there and taken a picture and there was nothing wrong with them. So it's a little bit odd. If it did happen, why would Channel 4 use a picture of people who looked like they hadn't been gas attacked? It just seems like an odd picture to use in a story that's supposed to be about people who have been, you know, with an underlying story of this gas attack. So Kathy Newman, it just keeps going on and on and on about this, and this woman is trying to get her point over, and I think quite right that she shouldn't have to answer that, because her point basically is that the Western media is lying prolifically about what is actually happening in Syria.
Well,
and Kathy Newman basically just underlines that.
Kathy Newman's a broadcaster by the on
Channel 4
News over here
in Britain. Yeah.
So I think that's just to it's sort of pretty much blanket on all the news channels how information is broadcast and presented from Syria because of the implications of war crimes and links to terrorist organisations of our government. But also, I'd say Kathy Newman, she's got previous in that there was of her question, like neuro-linguistic programming type questions. She was interviewing a couple of people regarding like the Labour, election. It's just Corbyn's just won a while back, and there was like a socialist Labour guy, and there was a more sort of Owen Smith type guy, and the way that she was questioning, but like really quite aggressively targeting the socialist guy rather than the Owen Smith dude.
Yeah.
It was terrible, absolute terrible journalism. You know, you could see that the biased in what she was saying and how she was relating to the people that she was interviewing. It was like, you know, you're a twat, blah, blah, blah. Oh, hello.
Have a drink. Here's a little kitten for you to stroke.
Yeah.
And you.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the other hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a bit of a, yeah, she's definitely got an agenda on her hands, hasn't she?
Yeah, I mean, all the news. I was,
Have you noticed
how very unlucky to...
Have you noticed how many of the, what once Channel 4 News anchors have gone? There's only Jon Snow left. He's the only one left.
Who was the Asian guy that used to be on? What was his name?
No, he's still on.
Oh, is he?
Is it?
No.
Rami is Bashir, it? Yeah.
No, that's Martin Bashir. I can't remember. I don't watch any of that news.
Apologies to anyone.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was funny talking about neuro-linguistic programming and all that. I was unfortunate enough to listen to or have Jeremy Vine on in the place I was at. And the way they did it was at Apple?
Aleppo.
Aleppo.
It wasn't in Aleppo. It was just when they were saying that, or there were accusations that the Russians had bombed.
Yeah, well, the place that was bombed.
It wasn't the place. It was the peace convoy that were going through.
But
the way they reported it on the BBC was just unbelievable. They were just saying, well, there may have been a Russian bomb coming from the place where they may have been. It was unbelievably ridiculous.
In the vicinity of
it's just reports
we've heard
reports say that it could have been
she said, he said.
Yeah, I know. It's real playground stuff when it gets to that level, isn't
it? And the way the condescending way they sort of say it as well, like.
Well, I hadn't heard it, but also this week, apparently Noel Edmonds was on Jeremy Vine, and he was going a bit woo woo in that he now gets. He's sort of a cat therapist or an animal therapist, and he was saying that even the sound of his voice on the phone can like chill cats out.
Good fucking work if you can get.
yeah. Fair play to them, man.
There are plenty of crazy cat ladies out there, aren't there?
See that. See that are opening boxes for a living.
He
has a TV show over here, Swami, where there's a certain amount of money and there's like 50 boxes and you have to open them.
Deal or no deal.
In secret.
I think that must be in the States by now.
And basically, it's just people opening.
Oh, yeah. We got that over here.
You got that as well? Yeah. Well, that's Noel Edmonds, dude, who's a bit of a David Icke on the quiet.
Well, no, he's not. He's not at all like that.
Well, he is. He's a fucking loon, man. He talks about cosmic order.
He's a loon.
He talks about cosmic ordering and stuff like that. And he's just hilarious.
Except not, yeah.
Except really annoying. He probably knows a bunch about paedophilia because he was from that BBC stable, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Noel Edmonds, Jimmy Savile, and all that lot.
And also, he's like famous. Almost for not paying the TV license. Yeah, it was quite well known that he's like a major celebrity figure.
He highlighted the thing that you only by the only reason in law you have to have a TV license is if you're a BBC employee.
Yeah,
that's the only fucking time. It's you don't get sent to jail. You get fired immediately. It's immediate dismissal. If you don't have your TV license, if you miss, like,
do you remember Anthony telling us that as well?
I've been told that by I've got quite a few BBC buddies in the past. Like, if I used to live with a girl who worked, who was quite
she was a line producer
or something like that. Yeah, and she told me, and another couple of people who I knew worked for them told me the same thing. The first question on the application form: do you have a TV license? And also, I worked in a studio once, and the guy who owned the studio had done a little bit of incidental music that got picked up for a BBC sort of educational thing, and he had to send his license number on the invoice for his to get his money. I mean, there wasn't a problem getting money. He had to put his license number.
Well, now on the iPlayer, it asks you whether or not you've got a TV license or not.
It's done that for a while. I've watched live TV football games, soccer games, and they ask you then when it's a live event.
But
that's now on the iPlayer. Oh, wow.
Yeah, but also on any video content, on their website, on BBC News or anything, it, like, has a little thing at the side to say, do you have a TV license? So, it could be very well that people clicking and just going, IP addresses are being collected there, because surely that's the only way that because it's almost like parental guidance, isn't it, on things that are you 18? Yeah, of course I am.
Yeah.
I'm a 15-year-old lad. Yeah, of course I'm 18. So, whether or not that, and maybe that's how the...
You mean people lie?
Timothy Leary. Wow. Timothy Leary was right. The internet is where you can be who you want every day around.
I watched that. Did you see that Keith Richards thing, Nick, that he made called The Origin of Species with Julian Temple?
No.
You know, I heard about that. No, he just talks about his childhood and he just sort of raps away about how things. He's fucking. It's pretty good actually, because he's like he hates the royal family, and he fucking like he doesn't he hates sort of
Keith Richards.
Figures because he always has. Yeah. Well, it's not Sir Keith Richards, is it? But it's Sir Mick Jagger.
Oh yeah.
And he was talking about how fucking the internet's going to be the death of us if we're not careful. He's going, man, you know, people just don't engage anymore, and like, you know, give it a generation or two, it's going to be like, we're going to be fucked, mate.
He's right.
And he's fucking so right, yeah.
Yeah, but well,
yeah, it was quite good.
It's amazing. Just to get quite a lot of my or some of the time that I'm at work, I'm on public transport, you know, supporting people. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to just see how many people on that type of transport are just staring at the screen, you know, just and even like older people with that you'd think that still have that conversation etiquette.
They're
still screened, and every time I see like mass of people doing that, it just reminds me of that image that some artist did of people looking at the phones, where the faces are just like you know, sort of event horizoned into the phone, sort of black hole.
Being sucked in.
So we're coming up to the end of the show here. We probably won't hear the whole of this tune, but this one also is from Nevermind, and it's Something in the Way. Thanks for having a great show. We'll see you all next week.
Okay. Namaste.
Bye.
Later. From the ceiling, it's okay.